Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here.
Back. Or you're here on FST. Sorry, I've been listening all morning to the Roto Experts in the morning. I forgot. I'm just getting started. I got to be honest. I've been on the air a lot the last couple of days. So I'm right back at home. Right now with my man Dane Martinez. He just finished up Roto Experts with Scotty, and here we are. We're going to do it for the next hour. Keep you updated on everything that happened yesterday over the weekend. Obviously a lot of football action over the weekend. We had Bengals Bills yesterday, Cowboys Cards. I caught more of that than I did Bengals Bills. We were out drafting yesterday. Dane and I had a team together. We're going to do that. We'll talk about that probably in the next segment. But just wanted to go over some of the major stories. We feel good about our team. We had the number 8 pick. It's a pretty high-stakes league, so we're looking to take down some serious cash. And looking forward to going over that. We'll take a review of that, maybe take a look at one or two of the other teams if we have some time. But, you know, you and I were talking just before air, and we're starting to get into a point where you have to start to get concerned about teams that aren't playing well and or have the injury bug. So we're going to put a poll up, and this you could probably have 8 different answers to this, but we're going to pick the 4 that really jumped out to us. And it's which team's injuries concern you the most right now. Cowboys, who are dealing with offensive line issues, particularly with Travis Frederick, who was their highest-graded offensive lineman last year, an all-pro center. He's dealing with Guillain-Barr syndrome, and there's really no timetable for it. It's a manageable syndrome affliction, but right now it's creating a lot of pain. So enough pain for him to not be able to get out there. As tough as he is, as tough as offensive linemen are, they're really going to have to monitor this. So you have stuff like that. You have the Chargers, which have notably lost defender Jason Verrett and other players as well. You have the Vikings, who have 3 of their 5 offensive linemen down right now. And then you have the 49ers. McKinnon's been banged up. Matt Breida, George Kittle are thought to potentially be ready for week 1, but there's been no guarantees given. So we are dealing with those injuries. We're going to update you some more on that, but that's how I kind of wanted to start it off. I never like starting off with injuries, but you know, we're 10 days away now. So we really need to make sure that all of our ducks in a row when we're drafting and making sure we know that every kind of portion of the team that you're evaluating is on point.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's important that you mention the Dallas and the Minnesota side, right? Because people don't think about the offensive line as much. Last year, however, you know, the Cincinnati Bengals, for example, their season was completely undercut going into last season. They lost Wentworth to the Rams. They lost Ziegler to the Browns. And you saw the impact of that team, right? Same, I think, could be said in New York with the Giants because of the offensive line, maybe Indianapolis as well. So this really has the potential to Seattle, absolutely. So this really has the potential to completely eviscerate the progress of an offense, and I don't think people think about it as much, and it could rear its ugly head for anybody. So when I think of teams like Dallas, when I think of teams like Minnesota, it could become a problem, and I know a lot of people, Mike, have Minnesota going pretty far this year, but that ain't going to happen if Kirk Cousins is on his back all the time and if Dalvin Cook has absolutely nowhere to run.
Yeah, I mean, the good news for Dallas is that if Travis Frederick were to go down, it would be a major blow. But you have a couple of other really good and all-pro players surrounding him. The Vikings, over the last 3 years, let's call it, 4 years, have addressed just about every position on the team. They have good linebackers. They have a pass rusher. They have excellent safeties. They have an $84 million quarterback. They have arguably the best 1-2 punch in the league at receiver. Like I've said before, the Steelers could argue that. The Broncos might want to argue that as well, but they're in the discussion. They're in the they're on the short list. They have a very solid tight end. And the one area, and their defensive line's excellent. The one area where they haven't been able to, Xavier Rhodes is out there. So, look, I mean, they have excellent players at every level of the team with one exception, and that is the offensive line. The offensive line 2 years ago was atrocious. So they made some, and it was the year in which Sam Bradford broke the all-time completion percentage record for a season, which was subsequently broken by Drew Brees last season. But the reason that Sam Bradford broke that record is because he had to get rid of the ball so quickly. His average yards per attempt were shockingly low, but he was just completing a lot of dump-off passes. They couldn't protect. They couldn't run the ball, which is why they put Dalvin Cook. They drafted Pat Elflein. But ultimately, they had to address it because it was so bad. It was impacting the entirety of their team. So now it was the weakest unit on the team. Now three guys are hurt, and as much as they tried to address it through free agency last year, it wasn't great. So going into this year, it wasn't going to be a great offensive line. It's why I've cooled some on everybody outside of the two receivers. I think Rudolph is what he is. I think he'll be solid. I think he's a tight end one, but I'm not jumping up to grab him. I think you could throw him into the mix with that second, third tier of tight ends all day long. And I at the end of the year, I don't know if you'll be able to tell the difference between Kyle Rudolph or Trey Burton or a few other guys that we can name. Delanie Walker. I actually like Delanie Walker more than those guys, but I digress. The point is that this offensive line really could torpedo the team and the progress that the offense can make. The defense is going to put them in better positions, which is good. They'll probably have good field position to start a lot of drives, but this offensive line can blow up all of their progress, just like what happened last year with the Bengals, the Giants, and the Seahawks.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. This team's weakness was offensive line going into it. You know, I think 2 years ago, you know, I look at a lot of PFF stats, the Pro Football Focus stats, and I think Mike Remmers might have, or their right tackle, like 2 years ago, literally had the lowest offensive line grade that PFF has ever given out. You know, they literally could have put like a traffic cone or a hurdle or a turnstile there, and they might have done a better job. So yes, this does worry me, and I was really high on the Minnesota Vikings, Mike. I really had them. I had them going as far as the NFC Championship game, you know, kind of going into this preseason. This has given me a big-time cause for concern, and I think it's going to be tested right away, Mike. Okay, week one, they host the San Francisco 49ers, and we've mentioned this before. The Niners have, I think, three first-round picks along that defensive line, Solomon Thomas, Buckner, and Armstead, I believe, as well, and they have the ability to get pressure. Let me ask you something else, Mike, on this.
Sure.
I made this point, I think, on Fantasy Freestyle a couple of weeks back. I started saying, you know, I think it's now a fool's errand to invest so much money in just the left tackle. You see, it used to be this thing where the left tackle was, you know, protecting the blind side and all this, but I think we're seeing something of an evolution of that. Quentin Nelson taken in the first seven picks this year as a guard. You know, money going out to people like Norwell in free agency. Yep. And I think part of that is two reasons. One, I think the blind side is now a misnomer. With 65% of snaps coming in the shotgun, quarterbacks are face up on what was the quote-unquote blind side. Everyone is also now like reading the mail and killing plays and changing it at the line. That's why they're reading where the pressure is going to come from. The other thing, to be quite honest, defenses have changed also. It's not only the speed rusher. We're seeing double A gap blitzes, you know, things like that, stunts on the top front of the line. I think defenses now know they can attack your weakest link. So I think it's kind of prudent for teams to spread their money and their investment across the offensive line instead of putting it all just there on the left tackle. What do you think about that, Mike? I think they're just going to attack your weakest link, and Minnesota may now have two or three of them.
Yeah, so I think there's a variety of different factors. You bring up good points, but there's a variety of different factors. One is that the elite pass rushers can control a game, can destroy a game, can help you to win a Super Bowl. I point to Von Miller in that regard. So that is obviously a major factor. But That being said, those guys are pretty rare. There's a few of them out there. I mean, a bunch. You call it a bunch, you know, you're going to have Bosa, who's really an all-around excellent defensive end. You have Von Miller. You have Khalil Mack. You have a bunch of other guys who I don't need to go through a whole laundry list of guys. The Steelers have T.J. Watt, who may become one of those guys. But that being said, they're fairly rare. Now, I don't want to put Aaron Donald, who was probably the best player in the NFL, as the primary example, but you see what he is able to do when the pocket collapses in the middle.
I mean, if
there's one thing that shakes up any quarterback, including Tom Brady, which we've seen over time, it is to collapse the middle of the pocket. So
that's right.
The team can kind of choose what they're able to do schematically. If you don't have an excellent pass rusher, what is the point of bringing people in from the outside? The Jets have this problem right now, for example. They don't really have a pass rusher, but perhaps they can use Leonard Williams to help collapse the pocket as often as they can. It is ideal to have a Von Miller type, even if he's not as good as Von Miller, but again, those are a rarity. So I think to some extent that creates the shotgun looks as well, because they know they're getting different looks from the defense. Also, look, more and more guys coming into the league have played more and more shotgun, so I think that's part of it.
Right. What's coming from college.
So, and it doesn't necessarily, you know, it's just really getting a guy to his 3 or 5 step drop a little bit quicker. I don't really have a problem with that. Clearly, they're going to want guys to play under center more, coming from, say, a true shotgun offense like Baker and Lamar Jackson. But Lamar Jackson played a lot of pro style, too, at Louisville. But nonetheless, I think those are the kind of reasons. So that, but you're, and the ultimate reason, the last point I meant to bring up, was that offensive line play sucks across the NFL, to put it bluntly. It doesn't.
And with the new CBA, they can't practice, Mike. They can't practice.
That's right. That's right. And you hear coaches complain about it all the time. If you listen to older school GMs and player personnel guys, the one factor in the NFL that has really decreased over time is offensive line play. It's a matter of not being able to practice. It's also a matter of some of the better athletes are playing in conferences like the Big 12, which don't really mirror pro-style offenses at all.
It's so a different game in college.
They're playing in two-point stances constantly, so I do think that's a problem, too. The defensive players are ahead of the game from a schematic and an athletic standpoint. So to put offensive linemen in here and try to teach a rookie, let's take Garrett Bowles. He's going to be the left tackle in Denver this year. It's sink or swim for him. It was sink or swim last year at points, and it's a lot to ask. So these players coming in need time. That's why you're seeing investments in guards like Will Hernandez for the Giants and Quentin Nelson for the Colts and Andrew Norwell, all the names that you mentioned earlier. I think they're trying to attack the offensive lines in a variety of different ways. They're just going to get quality, and it can actually shift the way in which you block and run an offense, ironically.
Yeah, I mean, you know, to further your point, you talked about the way to beat Tom Brady. When he lost in the Super Bowl, it was against that quote-unquote NASCAR defensive line of the Giants, when they had a quality 3 or 4 guys. Last year, the Philadelphia Eagles were going, what, 7 deep on the defensive line? It didn't have to be from the edges with Graham and what have you. They loved, you know, what the pressure they got up the middle. Think about what the Rams are doing this year, eventually, with Donald, Sue, and Brockers there on the line. It's coming all across it. I completely agree with you in terms of offensive linemen coming into the league from college. It's a different game, and the learning curve is steep because of that, and they don't have the time to practice, and now it's about just attacking the weakest link. I'm a little bit concerned with the Minnesota offensive line. You talked about it. Offensive line play sucks, Mike, and they got to replace potentially not one, but 2 or 3, and that could become you know, something like of a field day for defensive coordinators against Minnesota this year.
So one of the other teams, again, we have a poll up on at FNTSY Radio. I'm at Mike Blewett. Dane is at Spittin' Speeds, S-P-E-E-D-Z. And if you want to give us a call, please do so in the final segment at 840. That's 844-843-6879-84-FNTSY. And the other team that you wanted to bring up regarding injuries was the San Francisco 49ers. We got Matt Breida banged up, George Kittle, McKinnon a little bit banged up. So give me your thoughts on that and how concerned you are. The good news for them is that Jimmy G has obviously looked good. during this preseason. So maybe it's much ado about nothing, but you have to be concerned with some of his weapons not really showing much in the preseason.
Yeah, I think ultimately you're right. Ultimately, they'll be okay. You got to like what you've seen out of Jimmy G. But I think we've talked about like an adjustment period that teams have to go through with new personnel, time to build their chemistry. And that was definitely the case in San Francisco. Think about it. Also, Pierre Garçon was not on the field at the end of last year when Jimmy G was in there kind of winning those five games in a row, what have you. But now when I see a team that has new pieces, right, and needs that those reps, and then McKinnon goes down. Breida, who we all of a sudden thought was going to be real part of that timeshare, he goes down. A lot of people are intrigued by George Kittle and Bitts as a tight end in his second year. And now those pieces are just not there. So where does Jimmy G go to kind of build those that chemistry, become the number one guy? A lot of people think it's Marquise Goodwin. They go out and sign Alfred Morris, whether that's as a camp body or elsewhere. I just think there's a lot of questions to be answered in San Francisco, and a lot of people are high on this team. I think they may be, you know, taking a little while to gel and get better as the season goes along. So I wouldn't be so excited about them at the very beginning of the season. I mean, you look at their schedule and they start off Minnesota, Detroit, Kansas City, and the Chargers. Those are four teams that people think are going to be competitive. You know, we'll see what happens with Detroit and Kansas City with Mahomes, but the Chargers and the Vikings are two teams that people expect to be playing in January. So it's not an easy start in the first four for the Niners as they're still getting their feet under them.
Now, the Chargers obviously have suffered some defensive injuries as well. We don't really, I mean, from an offensive standpoint, Melvin Gordon's a little bit banged up. We expect him to be ready for week one. Trust me, Dane and I really need him to be that.
He'll be fine.
Because we drafted him yesterday. We're not that concerned about it. And as far as the other
weapons, I saw it was personal reasons he missed on Saturday. Personal reasons, yeah. Not a problem.
So there you go. And they lost Hunter Henry. So the tight end, really, position in Sandy, I almost did it, in Los Angeles, yep, for the Chargers is going to be, you know, that's going to be a wait and see. And I don't think it'll be a big part of the offense. Certainly not as big as it was going to be when Henry went down. He was the first major injury for fantasy football players this offseason. And that's really the big concern there. It's more defensive than offensive. But look, Henry's been on the shelf now for like 2 months, or at least it feels that way. So we've long forgotten about him as an option for this season. So go to the poll at FNTSY Radio. Dane and I are going to come back, talk about our team over the weekend. Yesterday is when we drafted, but for now, get your season ticket to Fantasy Glory. With the 2018 Roto Experts exclusive Edge Fantasy Football package, it's not just a draft kit, it's a full season package that takes you from draft day to championship week. And it features in-depth analysis from some of your favorite fantasy sports radio experts. So go to rotoexperts.com, use code WINNER, W-I-N-N-E-R, to get 10% off on the exclusive Edge package and set aside a spot on the mantle for that 2018 championship trophy. So it's Mike and Dane. It's a sprint. We're here for the next 40 minutes talking NFL, fantasy football, and our draft next.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99, or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your Daily Roto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
DailyRoto.com is putting more than $25,000 on the line for subscribers this NFL season. Entering paid contests on FanDuel will bring you along for the free roll. Have a chance to win big this year alongside Sports Grid CEO Jeremy Stein, one of the only men to have won two separate $1 million prizes. So each week we'll select lucky subscribers to sweat with us and split 50% of the profits. No profits that week, no worries. Your name's going to get tossed back into the hat the following week. Head to DailyRoto.com/sweat and learn how to get in on the action and share your share of $25,000 in action. That's DailyRoto.com/sweat. So, Dave Martinez and I competed yesterday in a high-stakes league, $1,000 buy-in, so we're sharing it. And it was kind of a...
Do we share the winnings, too? Do we have to share the winnings?
Yeah, I think that's the point. Yeah, absolutely. I want to get in on those winnings. Right. So
fair enough.
So we it was sort of a fantasy sports radio staff draft, I guess you could call it. It's really surrounded by Carton and Friends. That was the initial idea. Craig came up with it and expanded into some other hosts and that kind of stuff. A lot of people sharing teams. It made it for a lot of fun yesterday during the draft. We did a broadcast on it as well, but want to give you a sense of how our draft shook out. Apparently, as Dane just informed me, it's on the CBS platform, and we received an A+.
Yeah, so absolutely. And here's the thing:
I'll take the grade,
Mike. I think this is. I think our team. We looked at each other. I remember three times at least where our team is really a testament to letting the draft come to you. You know, we talk about a couple of things on this air, a couple of approaches, a couple of rules of thumb, as it were. But then you still got to see what's there when you're drafting, right? And there were, I'm thinking of three separate times, Mike, with two of our running backs and our tight end, where we were just like, listen, we may not usually take this guy, but the value is just too good where we were.
Yeah, so here's how it shook out. This is a 18-player roster. You're just starting a QB, two RBs, three wideouts, flex, tight end, kicker defense. Nothing out of the ordinary there. It's a PPR league. A couple of settings that are important. There are no trades, so it's a tradeless league. You're going to work with fab budget. It's $1,000 fab budget. Is that what we went with there, Dane? Okay, $1,000 fab budget. So for those of you that don't know what fab is, you can. Some people pronounce it FOB. It's FAAB, that's free agent acquisition budget. So if you're getting involved in leagues and you don't want to do straight-up waivers, you do fab. I greatly prefer fab because I think the rolling waivers are really easy, but they're also not particularly equitable. A big injury comes around, and a guy didn't make a transaction the week before, so he gets the spoils. I think you should have to bid it out and manage your team accordingly. So that's my opinion. If you want to add a little wrinkle to your league that's fairly simplistic, why don't you start with that? There's a lot of different ways you can go. If you have a very milquetoast, down-the-middle kind of league, and I'm not criticizing people for that. I hope everybody plays all different kinds. Auction drafts, I know people like that. I do IDP leagues, so you have individual defensive player instead of defense. Some people eliminating kickers. I would tell you two things that can really shake up your league. One is super flex, which means you can add a flex position that allows it to be a quarterback. And the other one is fab budget. I think it's a very simple thing to do. Your draft strategy changes a lot with the super flex. And your waiver strategy changes with the fab. I would suggest doing both of those. But if you're a commissioner in a league where you're like, hey, I want to shake things up a little bit, just add one of those. And I think you could go with it. That's just a little bit of advice from an analyst to you wanting to have a little bit more fun. So,
hey, and Blue,
any thoughts on that?
I'm all about these. Yeah, I'm all about the no kickers. Let me tell you something. I know you're a Steelers fan. 2 years ago, I went like 12-1. Okay, dominant team. In my semifinals, I lost. Why? Because Chris Boswell hit five field goals against me in week 15.
Yeah. So, in 3 years ago, this affected a lot of leagues. In week 16, Blair Walsh had a monster night on a Sunday night game against the Giants,
yeah, changed
I believe
championships.
It was, in week 16. And I can tell you, I was in a league where I had by far the best team. I got upset in the semis, and it was like one of those crazy scoring games. I lost by a few. And I remember the guy that beat me lost because Blair Walsh had, I think, a 25-point night because he hit a bunch of 50-yarders. And I remember thinking, thank God that wasn't me. Like, I was glad I lost in the semis and not in the finals.
Right?
A couple of hundred bucks didn't go my way. If I had gotten to the finals, I probably would have cleared a couple of extra $100, but I was glad that I didn't lose in that fashion because I would have gone crazy because kickers shouldn't be worth that much.
Yeah. I think you probably remember what I'm talking about. I know you're a Steelers fan.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I do.
I lost the championship because Boswell literally hit five field goals, and I think two of them were from 50.
And by the way, I'm
grabbing
Boswell.
Maybe at Cincinnati, something like that.
I'm grabbing Boswell in my kicker leagues this year because I was looking over it a couple of days ago when we were talking. The Steelers have a funky schedule in terms of weather this year. Normally, you get a lot of cold weather games and all that kind of stuff. They really only have one.
They're in the dome,
because
they're in the dome.
They play the Pats in Week 15, so that's going to be a rough one. But Boswell's pretty good at home, and that's a home game. But they are, I think they're in...
They're in New Orleans. They're in the dome in New Orleans, championship.
And then they have a Raiders game before
that. Week 17.
Right.
Yes, at Oakland. So you get some fair weather stuff.
Yeah, so...
Just Week 15,
he's not,
home for New England.
Yeah, he's not going to be dealing with weather in the way that he normally would. And I think it'll be a high-scoring offense. Really, that's what you want to go. You want guys that can kick into...
Sure.
Here it is. Down the stretch, they'll have Carolina at home mid-November. Then they go to Jacksonville, warm weather. Go to Denver, obviously kicker's dream. Then they host the Chargers, so there's a potential cold weather game in December. Then they go to Oakland. Then they host the Patriots. And then in Week 16, your last game, they're at New Orleans. So think about that in your last six-week stretch. I'm not going to get into a long thing of kickers. I'm just saying, if you're looking at Chris Boswell, that's a positive thing to think about. So let's get to our draft. Again, 18 players, no trades. We do have a kicker in this one, and so nothing else funky about it. We had the 8th pick overall. It is a PPR league, and Dane and I worked it out ahead of time. We're going to have some debate. As each pick comes around, he's going to get the tiebreakers on odd leagues. I'll get him on odd rounds. I'll get him on even rounds. So with the 8th pick, Antonio Brown slid to 7. For a second there, we thought we might get him, but he got picked at 7. And then we were Team FST took Melvin Gordon. I was on the DeAndre Hopkins bandwagon. Dane wanted to go with Melvin Gordon, so he got that one. We also debated Fournette as well. What's interesting is that DeAndre Hopkins lasted a really long time, the longest I've seen him last the entire draft season. The guy at the turn took Dalvin Cook and Odell Beckham, and DeAndre Hopkins was still there. So Odell was the second wide receiver off the board in front of Julio, and then ultimately DeAndre Hopkins, who goes 15th to our producer, Chris Bavona, and our other producer, Chrissy Bones, Chris Cannon. So that's a gift at 15. So they're feeling pretty good about themselves with that. They got Fournette and Hopkins
out of the gate.
That's really good. That's a great start. Now, for us... Because wide receivers weren't going, and Kareem Hunt and Christian McCaffrey and Dalvin Cook and everybody kept going, I think we got lucky too, because Michael Thomas went as late as anybody has gone this year, 17th overall to us. So we start with Melvin Gordon and Michael Thomas. A lot of touches between those two guys.
Yeah, I like them. You were talking about for Netflix and chill as well, Mike. And for me, I wanted to get that running back. I think these workhorse backs are so few and far between. Don't get me wrong. I love DeAndre Hopkins. I have shares of him in a lot of my other leagues, right? I thought we would be able to get those targets, get those catches a little bit further down. I think we did good. We have like a well-rounded wide receiver core outside of Thomas. No standouts, but a lot of solid guys. For me, the hair to split with Gordon and Fournette, I'm going to tell you the truth. Honestly, Blewett, when it comes down to it, give me the Chargers offense over the Jaguars offense. I know Fournette is really a stud when it comes to that. They may use him more in the passing game this year. He's down about 10 pounds. I love it. But Gordon, I believe, will catch 25 more balls than Leonard Fournette. And I'm just afraid of Blake Bortles and that Jacksonville offense. I think I'm down on Jacksonville altogether, and so I'm high on the Chargers. I just thought that there was much more production in the Chargers offense, and I think Gordon is going to do a lot more in the passing game than Leonard Fournette, and so that's why that's how I broke that tie.
How many touchdowns? Who would you guess has more touchdowns?
More touchdowns, I would give maybe a slight lean to Fournette, but I do think that Gordon will more than make up for the touchdown gap with receptions. Like, let's put
receptions
it this way.
Plus the yardage after catch.
Yeah. Let's say Fournette gets 2 more touchdowns, right? Let's say it's 9 and 11, you know, which I think could be feasible, right? But if Gordon gets 20 more catches, that more than makes up with the difference and the receiving yards as well. So for me, that's where I was going.
So Michael Thomas, do you know, well, let me ask you, do you know how many catches he has in his first two seasons?
I would say, I'm going to guess 205.
Just under that, 196. It's the most all-time through two seasons. So Odell and Landry have the record through three seasons, 288, and Landry has it through four seasons, 400 on the nose. So Michael Thomas,
if he gets another 90, this year, he would set that? All right.
That's right. So 196 catches through two seasons. Now, here was Dean's greatest point and the reason that I was fine to go with it. If we had taken DeAndre Hopkins there, our number one running back was going to be one of Devonta Freeman or Jordan Howard. So I wasn't comfortable with that. He wasn't comfortable with that. Mm-hmm. That's why you go RB out of the gate. And we got Michael Thomas, which I didn't think would happen. Devonta Adams went in front of him. I have Thomas slightly over Adams, so I was happy with that. We go to round number three, and we did something that neither of us had planned to do. Yep. We didn't talk about it. It just kept sliding and sliding and sliding and sliding. I heard you talking in the previous show to Scott Engel about letting the board come to you. He ended up with a zero RB team, not by design. It's just the way the board fell to him. So we basically had a choice. We were locked in on Joe Mixon. He got picked the pick before us. And then the best player available was Rob Gronkowski. When I do mock drafts and I do other kinds of best ball drafts, I very rarely build my team through Rob Gronkowski. I don't like the way it looks at the end of it, and it sometimes becomes difficult. But this is a high-stakes league. I think they're going to use Gronk as much as they can, even if they manage snaps a little bit later in the season. I think those first 4 weeks while Edelman is out, I think he's going to tear it up. I think he's going to tear up the league while he's healthy, and I think it could be as big a Gronk year as we've had because the Pats know, look, Gronk and Le'Veon Bell are in similar positions right now. They're both in teams that are they're both on teams that are trying to win the Super Bowl. There's no guarantee that either of them are coming back for another year for different reasons, but nonetheless, we heard rumors of Gronk maybe not being there this year, and I think they're just going to use him up as much as they can. Like I said, December, if the Pats haven't locked up, maybe Gronk sits out. We'll have to deal with it then if they're resting him in Week 16. But I like it here because it brings a big upside to our team.
Yeah, I agree with you, Blue. This is something I never really do. I always say that, you know, we talked about it before. Give me the Delanie Walker, the Trey Burton, the Kyle Rudolph. Give me the bottom of that tier, right? Give me tight ends 8 through 11 or something like that, and I'd be just fine. But when he was staring us in the face, I believe it was something like pick 32 or 33, and yeah, you're not going to ever have a chance that way at that late to get someone who literally gives you a week-by-week advantage, a big advantage at the tight end position, okay? And we've talked about this before, Mike, the idea that it's really about who scores touchdowns, and there's no bigger touchdown maker at the tight end position than Rob Gronkowski. All we need him to do is stay healthy. And here's the honest thing. I thought we were going to be really impacted there as our number two running back because we went tight end as early as we did. But then when we came around, we have more running backs that we grabbed in Shady McCoy and Mark Ingram, that there's a universe, Mike, where we have Gronk, we have Michael Thomas, and then after week four or five, we still have Melvin Gordon, Shady McCoy, and Mark Ingram in our flex. And I think those are, like, no one else in this league has three running backs that can be RB1s like we do, and we have Gronk, and we have one of the top seven wide receivers. So I think that's why our depth is really better than most in this league. I was impressed that we can get McCoy and Ingram to augment our running back position that later on.
So I'd be the first one to criticize us if it's like, you know what, we took Gronk and it torpedoed our running backs, or we took Gronk and it torpedoed our wide receivers. But I think we were able to extract value out of a lot of guys, and we also have a pretty deep team in a league where there's no trades and it's 18 players deep. So he just mentioned the player that we took next. It's LeSean McCoy. We understand the risks with Buffalo's offensive line, with Buffalo in general, with him having off-field stuff. We understand that risk, but we're going to have to assume it. And if things go our way and he's found to be not culpable, then, and he doesn't see a suspension of any kind, then you have a guy who's going to see the ball 275 times, 300 touches.
Yeah.
you know, like in that range.
Yeah, absolutely. I like the way it winds up for us. We talked about it at one point. We were like team shenanigans, you know, with the suspended the suspended Mark Ingram, the LeSean McCoy, you know, with the cloud. But, you know, like you said, Mike, especially in these kind of big money leagues, you got to swing, right? You got to swing for the fences. The analogy I'll make is when you enter a March Madness pool, right? You have to pick some 12 and 13 seeds, you know, if you're going to win. You can't just go chalk. You got to pick some and you got to be right with it. If McCoy stays on the field and when Ingram comes back, I'm looking at our team come November when this war of attrition through the no trading function comes through and other people like Gabe Morency, for example, are looking at the bottom of their barrel for a starting running back. We are going to have more to spare. Not to mention, by that point in time, Sony Michel could be the lead back in New England as well.
Yeah, we'll take so our next pick was Manny Sanders. Give me your thoughts on him this year.
I think Manny Sanders bounces back. I think Manny Sanders was really hurt by the poor quarterback play in Denver, okay? And I think that he's the kind of guy that a little bit more similar in Denver to the Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen type. You know, Minnesota with Case Keenum last year didn't really have that big X receiver like DT. I think Case Keenum's going to find Manny Sanders as his security blanket. I think he goes over 80 catches again this year, Manny Sanders.
Yeah, I'm with you. I do think you see a bounce back there. But again, if you don't love our second wide receiver as Manny Sanders, we have Gronk. So it's going to take a little bit of a toll on your wide receiving core when you're drafting a tight end that early. So we'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about this team, and we'll get to some player props and over-unders for the 2018 season. We're 10 days away from the season starting. Learn a little bit more about it on the other side of the break on FNTS Live.
Are you between the ages of 13 and 22 and love fantasy football? Then GM Genius is for you. GM Genius is the only fantasy football scholarship competition giving students a chance to play fantasy football and pay for your education. GM Genius won FSTA's Rookie of the Year Award in 2017 and has already awarded over $25,000 in scholarships. Go to GMGenius.com today and turn your fantasy football love into a scholarship.
Welcome back to NFST. For those of you listening on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, on TuneIn, on iHeartRadio, on a variety of terrestrial radio stations across the country, thank you. If you want to give us a call right now, please do so. 844-843-6879 or hit us up on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. We'll answer as many questions as we can. Dane is at Spit Speeds, S-P-E-E-D-Z. I'm at Mike Blewett. And we have a poll up there on Fantasy Sports Radio. Which NFL's team's injuries are most concerning? Cowboys, Vikings, Chargers, 49ers. I'm going to go with the Vikes, as Dane and I have talked about. But the Cowboys are winning right now. That does not surprise me. America's team, a lot of people like to vote for them. So the Cowboys way, way, way in front. 52% to the Vikings, 21%. Chargers, 49ers come back. Obviously, there could be other answers in there for people. If they want to weigh in, they can shoot a tweet at us. But nonetheless, the Cowboys are running away with it early. So plenty of time left on that poll. So a couple of more points on our team, and then we'll get to some player props, or rather NFL props for this season, courtesy of mybookie.ag, is Dane made a really good point. So we are both of the opinion, as are many experts, that you can wait on quarterback, and we really did. I mean, we went, we got Manny Sanders in round 5, we went Mark Ingram in round 6, and we understand that he is suspended. Mark Ingram, of it in these terms, he plays one game before week 7. One. Right. That's half your season. So if you're drafting him, you need to know that. But as we tried to say here, and I credit Tony Sincotta with using this phrase over and over again, my friend and former colleague.
He absolutely gets it done.
Yeah, he absolutely gets it done, A. And B, he always said, I'm not trying to be the best team out of the draft. I'm trying to be the best team at the playoffs. And that's really important to note. It doesn't mean you try to backload it completely, because you'll lose too many games early, but we're strong enough that we're going to win some games early. And if we even went 2-2 by the time we got Mark Ingram back, we could be in great shape. Now, am I concerned when he comes back that Sean Payton is like, I'm done with you, this is Kamara's team? Yeah, I do have that concern. Because, but last year, that wasn't the case. He used them both up, and they were within an inch, effectively, of being in the NFC Championship game. And I would have given them a shot against the Eagles, too. So, anyway, that's Mark Ingram. That's my Mark Ingram diatribe there. But then we came back, and we went with Randall Cobb, round 7, to get more depth. Then round 8, we went with Nelson Agholor. Then round 9, we were the last team to pick. Oh, no, then we went Sony Michel. I keep forgetting. We went Sony Michel. And then we went in round 10, and you said we were the last team to draft a starter?
I believe team? So, yes.
Matt Stafford. Yeah. So middle of the 10th
Sign
round.
Me up.
Yeah, we got Matt Stafford. I feel comfortable with Matt Stafford. In a lot of mock drafts, I was getting Stafford. And it was the first time I got him in terms of a real draft. But he's our starter. And we're going in there. They're the worst rushing attack in the league last year.
Jim Bob Cooter.
If everything goes great, they'll be in the middle of the league rushing attack, which means they're still going to throw the ball a decent amount. It's not the 700 times that Matt Stafford used to have to throw it, but he can throw it up there 530, 550, and they obviously have a really good trio of wide receivers in Tate, Jones, and Galladay. So, so there you are. We waited all day. I think we were the last teams in the league. Jake and Greg, I think, waited a really long time. They ended up with Roethlisberger there also in round 10. But what we did in order to upgrade that position, and I don't espouse taking two quarterbacks if you're in a regular home league. Just draft your one guy, get some depth at the other positions. However, when it's 18 players, I know when it gets a little bit deeper, people are going to draft a second quarterback. So I said to Dane, let's wait on the first one and draft the second one quick. And we did, just 2 rounds later. We got somebody in between there, Latavius Murray, for more running back depth, and then came right back, Matt Ryan. I will tell you, I think Matt Ryan's a QB1 this year. I think Matt Stafford's a QB1. So we have 2 QB1s. The only problem is, are we going to have to play musical chairs with these guys?
Right. That is the concern. There are going to be weeks where on a Monday morning, you and I are sitting here saying that we picked the wrong guy. Vis-a-vis Stafford and Ryan, right? We're going to be like, oh, man, we had Matt Stafford in our lineup, and Matt Ryan threw for 340 and 3 touchdowns. Like, it's going to happen at one point. But if the way I look at it, listen, we need one of these guys, and I'd say the percent chance that Matthew Stafford or Matt Ryan are a top 7 quarterback this year is over 50%. You know what I mean? Like, one of them is going to show themselves to be an MVP candidate, to be quite honest. And whichever one that is going to be our quarterback, and we didn't have to spend the capital that others did when they were taking the Watsons and the Russell Wilsons. And I especially, Blewett, and you mentioned this briefly before, I especially like this strategy in a league where there is no trades, okay? Because when we have our fab budget, granted, okay, fine, we have Gronk, right? So I would have applied the same thing at tight end. But because of our fab budget, you know, if something goes down at quarterback and we need to, that's where we can attack. But we have built depth at running back and at wide receiver such that when these other teams have the war of attrition with their injuries, they are going to be searching for guys, you know, and they're going to be wishing that they had people like, oh, I don't know, Sony Michel, you know, that we have as like our 4th running back, you know, or 5th running back. The last thing I'll say, you mentioned the Latavius Murray pick. He's not a guy that I generally like, Mike, but what we thought of, remember, we had McCoy with the cloud. We had Michelle, who's going to be potentially banged up early in the season. We had Mark Ingram, right, yeah, who we knew was going to be missing the first 4 games. So we decided we needed some early season stability, just in case something came down with Shady McCoy, or just in case, you know, Sony Michel gets pushed out a couple of weeks. And we thought on the flip side that we know Dalvin Cook is going to be there, but we're hearing that Lat Murray may have more of a role, and he's at least going to be stable early on. Especially, Mike, if they don't want to risk as much Dalvin Cook coming back from injury behind that bad offensive line, right? And so we think about the goal line there. We look for some unexcitable stability with the Lat Murray pick.
Yeah, and I'm not suggesting we're the only ones with really good quarterback depth. I'm looking at Beauty and the Beast, sure, and Scott Engel and Michelle Serpico.
And
Carson
Goff,
Wentz and
sure.
Jared Goff, that's pretty good. I'm seeing a Ben Roethlisberger, Pat Mahomes team is pretty good. I still like ours better. Son Luck, which is Craig Carton's two sons, they got Aaron Rodgers and Marcus Mariota. I really like that as a combo as well.
Look at their wide receivers, the kids, who were saying everybody else was embarrassing, right? I'll give you Julio Jones. But then Jordy Nelson washed. Golden Tate, we like Golladay better, right? And so then when, you know, Deshaun Jackson, that's just a name. Ted Ginn, a name. Like, they're going to wind up at some point this season, they're going to have to roll Sterling Shepard out as their number two wide receiver.
Yeah, I think you're probably right about that.
And what do you do the
week Sterling
Julio
Shepard
has
this
a bye?
Year, but I can't. Yeah, I can't bank – exactly right. And I can't bank on him being a number two. I like Sterling Shepard at his value, but I can't bank on him being a top 25 wide receiver. I just can't. So that's it.
You know?
I mean, yeah, so we really had to go – while we don't have a ton of top-end talent at receiver because we have Gronkowski, we do have Mike Thomas, but we got Randall Cobb, Emmanuel Sanders, Nelson Aguilar, Christian Kirk, and Ryan Grant. Potentially to suck up the targets in Indianapolis as the number two, and Christian Kirk. Look, that's our lone rookie. I don't go in on rookies. Sony Michel's a rookie too, so I don't go in on rookies much. But he's a first round draft pick by the Patriots. Running back is Michel and Kirk. You know, whichever quarterback is there. We don't really see a lot of options after Larry Fitzgerald. And if Kirk has played well during this preseason, so maybe he is the rookie that steps up. I understand it could be Calvin Ridley and Cortland Sutton, but I think Christian Kirk is really on the short list of guys to break out. You don't have to be a first-round pick to be the guy that explodes onto the scene. So we like that. And the one other interesting thing we did was at tight end. Dana and I talked about it a lot with Marquise Lee having gone down. I haven't seen the latest report on that, by the way. I don't know if you have an update, but
no update. Still, they're not talking about it, which is not a good thing. I think we're going to hear in the next, you know, couple of days that he tore something that he's gone. But I'm speculating at this point.
So we took a piece of the Jacksonville passing offense with Austin Seferian Jenkins as our backup to Gronk. We really needed a backup tight end in an 18-player, 12-team league. We do need a backup there. So Austin Seferian Jenkins, I think, is a really good guy at value. He's a tight end, too, to me, but maybe he threatens the outside of the tight end one conversation because Marquise Lee is down. So there we go. We have a question on Twitter from a guy named Frank, and he's got first overall pick in half-point PPR. Where do you go? I'm in love with Gurley. He won it for me last year. I would say that's not a bad pick, but I don't find the opportunity for him to repeat to be that great. I think the last six RB1s in fantasy football, first, the number one running back in fantasy football for the last 6 years, I believe, has not repeated. So recent history would tell you to go with Le'Veon Bell. At least that's how I feel about it.
Lev Bell is my number one player as well. Part of it is because I romanticize about him. I've had him for his entire career and my biggest home league dynasty, you know. Because you would remember this as a Steelers fan. You'd remember this as a Steelers fan, Blewett. His rookie year, he was coming back from a knee injury. And so he fell, you know, going into his rookie year. I bring up that. Can you believe I got Le'Veon Bell in the sixth round his rookie year after drafting like Monty Ball and Eddie Lacy ahead of him, and I've had him for his entire career. You may get the same kind of value this year with a guy like Sony Michel, with a guy like Rashad Penny as well.
Yeah, so Fantasy Factor is the only exclusively Fantasy Factor is the only exclusively single-entry DFS site. They have free rolls registering all the time and great promos for free prizes. So keep a lookout for Fantasy Factor's free $1 million Survivor contest opening about a week before NFL kickoff, so just in the next couple of days. Go to FantasyFactor.com. That's FantasyFactor.com. And please go to BetDSI, who's celebrating 20 years as the industry's biggest and safest betting site. They run sign-up and deposit promotions year-round for a limited time. Use promo code FNTSY. They offer tons of money on your first deposit if you're willing to adhere to rollover requirements. So use promo code FNTSY and try BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com, promo code FNTSY. Head on over and start winning today. So it's a sprint on this show every day. We talked about our team. We didn't even get to the player props. We'll do a ton of that tomorrow. The final segment tomorrow will be all NFL props. I see one here about the coaches. And I like that one. That's interesting. I'm on the Dirt Cutter bandwagon. That's plus 350.
That's my pick also.
So I'd be there, but you can get a lot more value with some other ones. Marvin Lewis would have been a good call a year ago, but they signed it to a two-year deal, so they're not going to fire him mid-season. So we'll talk about that tomorrow.
Adam Gase, baby. Adam Gase.
And we'll keep breaking down games, players, as much as we can, because all of you are drafting this week. Many of you are. So thanks for listening. Dean and I will talk to you tomorrow. We're out on FST.